And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. And man, what a win yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. 45-26 on the road in Indianapolis. A dominating performance by Derrick Henry and the Titans offense, particularly in the first half. And right now, the Tennessee Titans in first place in the AFC South. Joe? How are we doing?
Good. You want to rip through the news that we have had this weekend?
Sure.
So we got
only take 45 minutes.
Yeah, you got Derek Mason fired. You got Sarah Fuller making history. You got the Titans winning and taking control of the AFC South. You got Nashville SC just missing a shot at the Eastern Conference Finals. You got Rick Byrd making the College Basketball Hall of Fame. Not the best day. Congrats to Rick Byrd, who to me should also be in the Naismith Hall of Fame, and hopefully he will be one day.
Yeah.
Not ideal timing that announcement. The College Basketball Hall of Fame's not out there, and they announced their whole class for 21, you know, a lot of big names. They're not out there like, hey, what's going on in Nashville today, you know? But I was like, man, that's just not today. But, you know, 3 years ago, Shiano Sunday happened with a huge Titans win at Indy. And it's amazing, these SEC teams, how they get involved in huge Titans games at Indy.
It's the place to break news, Joe.
I guess so.
Must be. Man, what a win for the Titans yesterday. Derrick Henry was a monster. We'll get to him a lot during the show today. 27 carries, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. And, man, just a dominating performance by Derrick Henry, that Titans offense. And you said it Friday, Joe. You expected the Titans to come out and play their best game. Whatever the version of their best game looked like and whatever that looked like, on the final score part of it, you expected it, and I think they did that for the most part in the game Sunday. Just a really impressive performance by the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, all the questions, I think like the first 4 questions to Frank Reich were about injuries, and certainly injuries are a big part of this. I mean, they're a different team without DeForest Buckner, right?
Apparently so.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. They also lost Anthony Costanzo. They didn't have Ryan Kelly. But, I mean, if you really like, if you want to list everything out for both teams, it's pretty significant on both sides. Bottom line is, I mean, it was just a terrific performance. I mean, you're talking about 5 touchdowns and 6 possessions in the first half, dominating, great play calling, Tannehill, and then, of course, Henry. I mean, I thought Derrick Henry was on his way easily to 200 yards. He probably could have had it. I think they also were probably smart to take him out a little bit in the second half. But, hey, I mean, you talk about 7 possessions defensively in a row, giving up a total of 54 yards. So that, to me, I mean, the Buckner thing was that's a big blow to that defense. But that's a significant, to me, development for that defense to, I think, adjust and play a lot different than they played in the first meeting.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And, I mean, to that point, one of the underrated parts of yesterday, we talked about the Colts gashing them on the ground in the last game, and I realized the score had a lot to do with this as well, but 21 carries for the Colts yesterday, 56 yards, averaged 2.7 yards per carry. Titans rush defense was awesome yesterday, and that was, again, I realized you're down most of the game for the Colts, so you got to throw it a lot, and Phillip Rivers did. He threw 42 passes yesterday, but the Titans' ability to just stifle the Colts, like you said, 7 possessions. What was it, 56 yards?
54.
54 yards. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that. I mean, that was really, really good.
Yeah, and again, on the injury front, I mean, Jonathan Taylor was another COVID guy, late-breaking COVID. Denico Autry, also those three, you know, those two along with DeForest Buckner on the COVID list. So that takes away, you know, the power rushing element. But, I mean, the first game, it was Hines who really killed him. And, of course, Hines still had 8 catches for 66 yesterday. I mean, you're not stopping that if you play the Colts, but 10 rushes for 29 yards for him. You know, I thought Will Compton was a guy who, not an ideal situation for the Titans, obviously, to lose Jayon Brown and have to go to Will Compton. You know, he actually had the green dot. He was the signal caller out there. I thought he ran around and made a lot of plays. I mean, I thought he really acquitted himself well. I mean, you think about Compton, one who is, you know, like basically a 3, right? And I mean, David Long got out there, and I think we'll see more of David Long, you know, as we move forward. He just got off the list, the COVID list. But then you think about David Quesenberry, who, again, I can't believe – I'm watching this guy play. I'm like, there's your number three left tackle. Tyson Brallo gets hurt. He has to go in. This guy, it's his first start. You know, I mean, he's barely played in this league. He's been a practice squad guy. He's beaten cancer. And I'm watching him play. I'm like, that looks like a legit left tackle in the NFL to me. I mean, I'm no expert, but tell me I'm wrong. I mean, I'm watching him over and over again just look really good out there. The whole offensive line, that's a big part of yesterday too. As banged up as they are, how much have we talked about Tannehill? You know, he isn't getting enough time. The offense is, you know, floundering a little bit. It's like they figured something out there.
It sure did. And I'll tell you what, Derrick Henry, that entire offense was rolling in the first half. And we talked about A.J. Brown needing to have a kind of a bounce back game against the Colts after a case of the dropsies the last time that they played. He had a bounce back game, especially in the first half, at 69-yard touchdown. By the way, Call Your Shot Friday. Mark that as a check for Robbie Stanley.
Nice job.
60-yard touchdown or more. 69-yard touchdown in the first quarter. A.J. Brown, 4 catches, 98 yards yesterday, and a touchdown. He was sensational. And, by the way, brought a kickoff back for a touchdown, too.
Pretty nice. He got a freebie. So
that was a heck of a hop.
Yeah, if you're an A.J. Brown fantasy owner, the thing is, I think most leagues that would just count as a D special teams touchdown, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Some leagues that would count for
you. There were a couple people in one of my league that was – or two of my leagues that were really mad. Yeah.
That were mad?
That didn't count for like
because
an A.J. Brown
touchdown.
Yeah,
yeah. But that was a freebie.
But by the way, as someone who took the 44.5 above for Titans points at halftime, like the halftime line for Titans points in the game was 44.5, I was very thankful as someone who took the over for A.J. Brown taking that to the house.
Yeah, wow. That's something else. Because, otherwise, they're not, they're just bleeding clock. Man, that's crazy. A.J. Brown was – and, we're going to have Dan Orlovsky on the show later this week. I don't know if you saw his breakdown of that play, but it was interesting. He broke it down. You know, Nate Davis on that play. The Colts, I mean, they sold out with a blitz on that play, playing man behind it. And Nate Davis got, two blocks in to give him just a half second he needed to deliver the ball. And if Nate Davis doesn't do that, I don't think Tannehill gets it off. So, again, offensive line, big part of it. Corey Davis again with – I mean, to me, the key play of this game was the fourth down.
Yeah.
That buried the Colts. And I'm not saying they would have come back or anything like that, but even if it's just 28-14 and a half with them getting the ball – they can make it 28-21. You never know. They've been a monster second
half.
They did
the exact same thing to the Packers last week.
Exactly.
It was 28-14 and a half.
So I think the number was 41-3 the last two games. They outscored their opponent. So, and certainly if you miss it there, then, you could easily give up three the other way to them, and all of a sudden you could be looking at like 28-24 before you get the ball back again, right? So it was a risk. I love that they went for it, and I know it's one of those things where, like, well, if it works, you love it, and if it doesn't work, you don't love it. But I think right there with your offense, the way it was playing, and the chance to basically kill them before halftime, and that play, the Colts took away Firkser. That was the first read. He wanted Firkser. He finds Davis, and Davis has to make a really tough catch. And then, of course, it's the Tannehill finger roll. And basically, I mean, the Colts made a little run, but basically that ended the game.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston text in, says, all that talk about needing a defensive coordinator was hogwash. Amazing how a defense can improve with better players and when you let the coaches identify weaknesses and coach them up. People feeling a lot better about the Titans defense today.
Yeah. So this is where, and again, there's never been any way they were going to add a DC during the season, but this is like the I told you so's, one way or the other on this. But look, I don't disagree with that. You got some guys playing better. Breon Borders had his ups and downs, but man, he's out there making plays.
Could have had a pick six.
Yeah,
Phillip
Rivers tried to give him one. He tried. But a lot of guys are playing. I mean, Landry and Simmons get sacks yesterday. Those guys have been there all along, but it looks like they are in some ways maybe gelling, improving. Every week's a different matchup. But still, you think about two wins on the road like that when we kind of thought one thing about this team after that blowout loss to the Colts. Awfully impressive response.
So, Joe, you brought it up a little bit earlier in the segment. I'm sitting there in the first half yesterday, and I look on Twitter, and all of a sudden, Joe Rexroad's breaking news. Derek Mason gone at Vanderbilt, fired by Vanderbilt after a 41-0 loss over the weekend to Missouri. Were you surprised that Vanderbilt pulled the trigger this early on Derek Mason and didn't wait it out for the rest of the year, and now he's gone? He's out?
A little bit, and I got word yesterday morning that it had happened the night before, and I was a little bit surprised that it happened then. But, you know, the signing day thing, as I'm told, is important.
Yep.
And, you know, this was supposed to be Tennessee weekend. This was supposed to be senior day, sort of like timing out as a farewell kind of weekend. It didn't work out that way. You know, the SEC switches it around. They go to Missouri. So I guess, you know, I didn't necessarily expect it to be that quick after the Missouri game. But, look, it was a bad performance. And, look, you could make the case to fire Derek Mason a year ago.
Sure.
You know, I think the case that Malcolm Turner, the AD at the time, made sense, which was, is it you keep switching coaches and kicking the can, or do you invest in the infrastructure and help your coach, whether it's him or the next coach? But also, when you get to year 7 and you're 27-55 and you're 10-46 in the SEC, and I think last year you lose at home to UNLV, you go 3-9, you have those three guys come back and you have those struggles. I mean, look, it's the negativity again. It's like we talked with Jeremy Pruitt. When it gets to the point where it's all over the program, all around the program, affects recruiting, all that stuff, at some point, I mean, you have to make a change. So I think it makes sense, and now I'm really interested to see what Vanderbilt can do here. I still think these prospective candidates, if I'm one of them, I'm asking, okay, what do you have coming? Do you have plans? Do you have fundraising? Do you have facilities? Because I don't want to come in there and have the same disadvantages Derek Mason had. I think Derek Mason can be a great DC right now at a Power 5 school. I think he could be a successful head coach again someday. But I also think that at some point you got to switch things up. And so I think overall this makes sense. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. What does the Titans/Vanderbilt fan think today?
Oh, they're probably very happy.
Probably pretty happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what percentage of the fan base wanted Derek Mason fired. I know some Vanderbilt fans who are like, I don't blame him. I blame, like, bigger things than him.
Right.
But I think it also hurts him that he came after James Franklin and his success. Whatever you think of it, it's a big difference, right? I think the Vanderbilt/Titans fan today is pretty pumped.
I think so, too. Now, the Vanderbilt/Titans/Nashville SC fan today, probably not quite as excited.
Fair
point. It was a tough loss last night. I mean, Nashville SC, they played really well in the first half. They had a great chance. Dax McCarty heads one off the crossbar. And I mean, like, 2 centimeters down,
yeah,
and it's a goal. And that's just how the game goes sometimes. But Columbus comes back in the second half. They score 2 goals in extra time to get the 2-0 win. But nonetheless, a really impressive opening season for Nashville SC.
Fantastic run. Earlier, there was I thought the ball crossed the line. I forget who shot that. They had a little stretch there where, and it kind of felt like the Toronto game, except that was like the whole game. And then it flipped the other way. But, I mean, how could you expect really more from this team? Eastern Conference semifinals, first year, all they've been through. They got some really exciting, fun players to watch. And, I mean, you got to tip your cap to them just for everything they did. They gave this city a heck of a run.
They sure did, and it's going to be interesting to see what moves they make in the offseason maybe to get even better next year, because great first step for this team this year, all the different obstacles you've got to overcome, and hopefully we can get to a place next year where everybody can get back in the building and watch some big-time Major League Soccer for the first time. So congrats to Nashville SC for the first season. It was great. Everything you had to overcome, they did a phenomenal job in the playoff run. Was a lot of fun to watch. When we come back, we'll break down the big man's big day yesterday in Indianapolis. Derrick Henry takes no prisoners once again. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
1:46 to go in the half from the Indy 11-yard line. Give to Derrick Henry to the 5-yard line, to the goal line. He's in again. Touchdown number 3 in the first half for Derrick Henry. just cruising through the Colts defense in the opening two quarters.
We're used to you doing your damage late in the game, fourth quarter or overtime. You had 140 of your over 170 yards in the first half. But what did you see early that allowed you to be so successful?
Getting north and south, hitting the hole hard, finishing forward, and then trying to do the best I can to help my team win, get in the end zone. And, credit to all those guys blocking O-line, tight ends, receivers. Did a hell of a job for me to do my job. So all the credit goes to them.
Derrick Henry with another big day yesterday against the Indianapolis Colts in a 45-26 win for the Titans to put them in first place in the AFC South. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, a huge day yesterday for Derrick Henry. Like you said, 140 yards in the first half. Finishes the game with 27 carries, 178 yards, three touchdowns, averaged 6.6 yards per carry yesterday against Indianapolis. Now, a lot of Colts fans pointing to the fact they didn't have DeForest Buckner, and that is a huge deal. Obviously, we talked about on Friday just what a game wrecker and a game changer DeForest Buckner can be. But Derrick Henry, from the outset yesterday, looked like a man on a mission. Three touchdowns in the first half. He was sensational yesterday, and probably the biggest reason the Titans were able to win that game.
Yeah, he was dominant. He looked like a monster. He was outstanding. Also, this doesn't happen every week. He had a lot of downhill runs where there was a pretty big gap for him to run through in that first half.
Yeah.
Like, the offensive line was just tremendous. You know, again, there's some weeks where there are some weeks where I think he gets yards despite really not having those seams and having to really fight for them and at times create his own, you know, momentum and things like that. I mean, he was able to just blast through some big holes yesterday and just looked terrific. In the meantime, he now leads the NFL. He leads Dalvin Cook by 127 yards. He actually leads the NFL with 114.3 per game now, 4.9 per carry. And at 1257, I mean, you know, that's a big number, and with some possibly big games to come. I really did think he was going to get a 200-yard game, though, yesterday. But just really dominant performance. Catching the ball, too. Throwing the ball to him. Like, they threw the ball to him quite a bit, which was interesting.
And I thought the first touchdown was going to be a receiving touchdown. It's basically a swing pass out of the backfield, ruled a lateral, so a rushing touchdown for Derrick Henry there. But showing some hands yesterday, old Derrick Henry. How about him?
Yeah. I mean, he can
complete back, baby.
Well, he's, you know, he's worked hard. I swear, like, training camp, it felt like all he did was work on, you know, that aspect of his game. He can catch the ball. And they, you know, it's a good thing to show sometimes. And it's still never going to be – he's not going to be Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey, but it's a nice thing to show sometimes. He was just really good. Then they bring in the other guys and get some rushing out of them too. You know, I mean, as a team, you're talking about 229 net yards rushing. I mean, that's just dominant. And, of course, DeForest Buckner being gone is a big part of that. Of course it is. But, again, I mean, the Colts played the Titans twice and never saw Taylor Lewan. I mean, the NFL, you get to late November, every team can say, what about this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy? We would have been a lot better with him.
Yeah, and it really got to the point yesterday in the first half where I looked at Arthur Smith sometimes. It's like, dude, don't be overthinking yourself here. Just hand the ball. I mean, you're getting 7 yards a pop out of Derrick Henry. And there was one drive in particular that they ended up scoring a touchdown on, but I think had two or three occasions where they just either did a play action off of him or just dropped back and chucked it. I was like, just run the ball. Oh, my goodness, run the ball. But that's really the only nitpicking I can do about Arthur Smith yesterday.
You could tell on the first drive that Derrick Henry was going to have a big day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That if they just kept feeding him and feeding him, that he was going to have the kind of performance that he ended up with. 175 and three touchdowns.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was dominating. There's some interesting stuff yesterday from some of the Colts. You know, cause a lot of times you'll get, you know, nothing they did, it was us, you know, things like this. So Darius Leonard had a pretty interesting quote about trying to stop Derrick Henry, which I'm trying to find. So defense came out in the second half. This is a quote from Darius Leonard. quote, it was more so, are we going to lay down or step up? That's the mindset you have to have as a competitor. If you lay down, if you're not still trying to get the crowd into it, you're not still trying to make plays, and you're not a competitor. You suck. If you play a ball, if you play a ball game for any team, competitive sport, if you're losing, as long as there's time on the clock, you in your mind you have to win this ball game. People have to understand that. But he's talking about them stepping up in the second half, but after just being pummeled by by Derrick Henry in the first half. And again, like, of course Buckner is a huge, I mean, he has changed their defense, okay? But if you're that reliant on one guy too, I have some questions, you know? I mean, I do, it's amazing to think this, but like, I look at the Colts, I'm like, are they going to get the playoffs?
If he's that important, maybe he belongs in the NFL MVP conversation. Like, maybe DeForest Buckner needs to be in there.
I would like to see more D tackles in that conversation, okay. Actually. Hey, he's good. He's really good. Yeah. He's great. He helps everybody else. But you still have to give the Titans credit for what they did.
You do. And I saw this stat from Teresa Walker of the Associated Press yesterday, and a lot of people threw this out. But another stat to Derrick Henry's list, the fourth player in NFL history with three games of at least 175 yards and three rushing touchdowns in their first five seasons. The others, Jim Brown, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Adrian Peterson. Pretty good company for Derrick Henry there.
That's not bad.
I think we need to stop and appreciate what we're watching right now. This dude is putting together one of the greatest stretches of running back play in the history of the National Football League. I mean, that's what it is right now. And I think sometimes when you're here locally, you can take that for granted and not really appreciate what it is you're watching. But the last year and a half, 2 year stretch that Derrick Henry is putting together is historic. And it has been amazing to watch. And you know it, like, if you know that the Colts coming in that game yesterday, even without Buckner in there, they were honing in on trying to stop Derrick Henry, and they still can't do it. And that's been the most amazing part of this season to me, is last year, like, coming into the year, they're like, oh yeah, Derrick Henry's really good. In the last four games of the season 2 years ago, he was outstanding. But last year was really his coming out party. This year, everybody knows who Derrick Henry is, and he is still putting up ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, and you know, when people didn't want to sign Derrick Henry, which I understand the whole running back risk aspect of that. But one thing I heard about was, and you guys can tell me if this is accurate or not, but I've heard a lot of people say it, is that Chris Johnson got his deal, fell off. Now, does that mean Chris Johnson didn't work as much or whatever? I don't know. All I know is Derrick Henry signed his deal, and he's gotten to a new level now.
Yeah.
And I never had any question. That's who he is. I didn't have any question about that. But it's just, it's worth pointing out. What he needs is he needs a 2,000-yard season, you know? Like, if he can get to a 2,000-yard season, that's some epic, very, very rare territory. He needs 743 yards in five games.
I'm not putting it past him.
I'm not either.
It's unlikely, but I'm not putting it past.
He's on pace for 1828.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not too far off if he has another couple big games like yesterday.
And the Detroit Lions and the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the schedule.
Well, it depends on how they use him, too. Like, he absolutely could have got 200 yards rushing yesterday.
That's true.
But they pulled him out. So some of this is going to be his usage down the rest of the season, but he's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing. If they blow those teams out, Derrick Henry might be sitting there at 120 yards, but it's like, okay, well, you got to think playoffs. You got to think long term. It might take a couple 80 plusers, you know, to get him there, like a couple big ones before he gets pulled from these games.
I think it'd also take Week 17 to matter.
Yeah,
against Houston,
right?
Because if they won't get the bye, obviously, so if that Houston game doesn't matter, they're not playing Derrick Henry.
I get, you know, what's interesting about that is what if it's like, you know, what if it's for the three, you know, I mean, you're going to, if you win the division, you're going to host a game, but what if it's like for the three and you like the six matchup better? You know, I don't know, Vrabel probably would be like, are we in or are we out? And then that's how we're going to do it. But that's what it would be for probably if things keep going this way, is that they're just playing for, could they be playing for the two? Does that matter? You know, only the one gets the bye anymore.
Yeah,
and that is a bye, by the way, guys. That's the correct usage of the word bye.
Is that in the dictionary? Is that how that works? Is this what we're going off of?
The dictionary has eroded in many ways in human society. Okay.
No longer reliable? Webster's?
Webster's. I have a lot of nitpicking with Webster's. But a bye is in a tournament, and there's one team.
Okay.
That's what it is.
I think we've already proven you wrong on this, Joe.
We don't need to keep going around and around on this. Regardless, there's one bye, and the Titans won't get it. And you're right. That game may end up costing him. All of a sudden, we're talking about the Titans are just in. They've won the AFC South. Yeah. And it's over. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after they were about to not make the playoffs.
You know what's scary, though, about Derek? Is that he always gets better in December.
Right. I mean, this run you're just talking about, 595 yards in those four games in December. So basically, it started exactly 2 years ago. And I got to – during the break, I'll look and see what that total number is. But it's big.
Well, I can tell you this. Week 16 for the Titans will matter. Derrick Henry will play in that game, and he'll run for 350 yards against the Packers. So you can just mark that down.
There you go. 350.
350.
After they beat the Bears 100-3, huh?
Yeah, the Bears are a great offensive football team. They are really good.
Bears got to be the worst. What were they? Were they 5-1?
By the way, the first carry of the game for the Bears yesterday, about a 55-yard run for David Montgomery, who hasn't ran all year. So Derrick Henry, he's going to put up a number against the Green Bay Packers. When we come back, what was the most impressive part of the game yesterday for the Titans outside of Derrick Henry? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Short drop, Tannehill off the snap, throws over the middle, it's caught. That's A.J. Brown at the 50-yard line, breaks a tackle, 40, has a blocker, bats in at the 35, to the 20, to the 10, 5, and A.J. Brown is in for the Tennessee touchdown.
Yeah, he's making it look extremely easy. Obviously, it's a difficult thing to do, but Coach Vrabel says it all the time, pros make the hard look easy, and that's what A.J. does. You know, we got pressure there off the right side. I was hot. Nate did a good job of, you know, slowing the rushers down, just enough for me to be able to get that pass off. Got it to AJ, and he obviously did the rest. So, you know, we know what kind of weapon that AJ is. You know, anytime he has the ball in his hands, and he showed it again today.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill yesterday after the game talking about AJ Brown. Another big day for AJ Brown yesterday for the Titans. A 69-yard touchdown reception, four catches for 98 yards, and also brought back a kickoff return for a touchdown as well. So a big game for number 11 yesterday. And, Joe, I got to tell you, I mean, that guy, watching him after the catch is just something to behold. And they broke it down a little bit yesterday on Sunday NFL Countdown show before the game. And Matt Hasselbeck was talking about how basically A.J. Brown is like another running back when he gets the ball in his hands. And it's amazing to just watch him. Look, we know like the physicality part of it and the Ravens touchdown that stands out and how difficult he is to bring to the ground. But that's another example yesterday of A.J. Brown just running away from people and nobody being able to catch up with him. His speed, and I'm not sure if it's something that's just gotten better this year or it's something that we've noticed more this year, but he is underrated in terms of the speed that he brings to the table.
No, I agree. People think of him, obviously, powerful. Like you said, running back. Shoot, I think, wasn't it Malcolm Butler who said that on this show?
Yeah.
First time I heard that, it was exactly right. He's like a great running back after he gets the ball. But you're right, the speed is that was, you know, even coming out of Ole Miss, like, you know, terrific all-around player, powerful, you know, he can go high point the ball, but not a burner, not DK Metcalf. Man, he looks like he can run to me. And I don't know, has he gotten faster? I remember last year being in Oakland and they threw that bomb to him and I was like, man, he looks like he can do that a little bit. And I still think that's still ahead for him is more vertical stuff. But if you can, you know, if you can time it out right, get the look you want, and get him that ball fast like they did on that play, I mean, that's a pretty effective way. How many times have they scored or at least gotten big plays on plays just like that going back to Cleveland last year?
Yeah.
I don't know the number, but it's significant.
It's pretty high. And obviously a lot to like yesterday for the Titans. They put up 45 points. They win the game against a division rival. And you look at the defensive numbers, you talked about seven possessions in a row were a net of 54 yards for the Colts yesterday. As you evaluate the game and factor in everything we've talked about, obviously outside of Derrick Henry, which is the headline from the game, what impressed you the most about the Titans and their performance yesterday?
Well, can we count the offensive line or does that go along with Derrick Henry?
You can count it.
I mean, because honestly, I have to. I would go there next. I just think they were really good. And again, we know the Colts are banged up. Denico Autry is a loss too. They still have some good defensive players. That's still a banged up Titans offensive line that we've wondered how things would go. I'm going to continue to keep going back to David Quessenberry. because I just don't think too many teams have a three who can come in and do what he's done. But we've talked about Nate Davis. I really think he's becoming a heck of a player. You know, Ben Jones fighting through injury. Roger Saffold gets back out there. That's big. I was really impressed with them. You know, defensively, it was a collective effort. It wasn't like any one player to me stood out. I mean, I think Malcolm Butler weekly is a guy who really is playing well for them.
Almost had an interception. Yeah. Almost, baby.
That was
a great simultaneous catch.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the right call to take that away because it's, you know, a tie goes the offense. But, you know, great fight by him. I mean, he's always right there. I mean, I would say I was impressed with the approach. I mean, again, it's very simplistic to look at the first game and say, and it was asked so much after the game, like, why did you play off so much? Why weren't you more aggressive? All that stuff. I mean, it's not that simple, and it's not as simple as they just decided to be aggressive. But they had some pressures that really worked, and I just thought the coverage was a lot better downfield against those are all the same guys that they played in the first game. So I think I was impressed with the approach, the change, the plan, and the execution of it on defense, and that hasn't happened a lot this year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, says, Corey Davis was just as good as AJ. We need to make sure we get Davis signed because it's hard to find a wide receiver tandem like those two. And, Joe, we talked about that a little bit last week. The 1-2 punch they've got going right now with AJ Brown and Corey Davis, as good as they've had in a long, long time around here. Corey Davis, excellent again yesterday.
No doubt. I mean, again, to me, the play of the game that buried the Colts was that 4th-and-4, trying to go to Firkser, sees Davis running the post, gets it to him, really kind of short arms it a little bit. And he said after the game, Tannehill did, he's like, I didn't know where the safety was. So he sort of carefully placed it in there. The safety was late. If he makes a better throw, it's a touchdown. But Davis goes low to get that ball, then gets up, gets it to the one. Tannehill scores the next play. I mean, the Colts are dead. And that's Corey Davis. I agree. He's got to be a priority. He's had a great year. Also, if we're going to talk about injuries, the Colts in two games didn't have to see Adam Humphries, who I still think takes this offense to another level when he gets back, which I would think would be this week against the Browns.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, a guy that I noticed yesterday that sometimes goes underappreciated, but you think back to the Colts game a couple weeks ago, Brett Kern. I mean, he was deadly. Yesterday, that dude is an absolute force in the punting game. He just pinned the Colts inside the 15 time and time again. Brett Kern, he's back in there. Four punts inside the 20 yesterday from Brett Kern. The dude is a machine.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, again, it's just an average of 40, but it's a net of 40.
Yeah.
You know, there's no returns. All four inside the 20, it's such a difference. And you just know that he's going to get it done. Time and time again. So, big. He had a brace on, but he got out there. He was able to go with it. And this team is, you know, hey, your guy Gostkowski made his
perfect
one
again.
Field goal. So, he's 16-24. So, what is that? That's four straight, right? Since the 12-20? Four straight? Feeling better about him?
I mean, he did miss the one that they had a false start on. So, no.
Not really. Come on now. Was that really a – like, I know he kicked it, but I don't even – like, I think he just was whacking at it.
I just know he missed it. That's all I cared about at the time. I was like, come on, dude. Do we think Dennis Kelly took the false start penalty on purpose to move him back farther?
Well, it didn't get him 50-plus, though.
I know, but he got 49.
Charles Davis was like, gosh, one more yard, and you know he's going to make it. I mean, even Charles Davis is having fun with this. But, hey, he hit another one in the 40s, which I don't know what that makes him, but it's a lot better than it was recently.
Certainly an improvement. It was just I agree with everything you said. The defensively, you know, they had their moments where it looked a little rough. I mean, the first drive after the Titans score the opening touchdown and the Colts just march right down the field, I was like, oh, going to be one of those games, huh, where it ends up 45-41. The Titans defense responded after that. But, you know, the secondary had their moments. I think Kevin Byard had two pass interference penalties. Breon Borders, aside from the interception, he drops another one, had some other moments where – it was rough, but defensively, I mean, they held together. I mean, it was, I don't want to say bend but don't break, but that's what it was at times yesterday. And defensively, with as many struggles as they've had this year, holding the Colts to 26 points, pretty good day for them yesterday. And by the way, another great defensive game without Jadeveon Clowney. What do we make
of that? Oh, well, my gosh. You just – that's 2 hours of Stillman today, least. Yeah, well, hey, I mean, the guys they have out there are making plays. And, they, again, the pressure at times, it's hard to get it on Phillip Rivers. Here's a quote from Phillip Rivers. Quote, I think they did ramp up the pressure and pressured a heck of a lot more than in the first outing. I thought there was some blitzes that – this is now me talking, not Phillip Rivers – some blitzes that were effective, but even some guys winning up front. Again, Ryan Kelly's out. Costanzo goes out. That hurts them. But the Titans have struggled. I mean, again, the Titans couldn't get pressure on the Bengals' practice squad offensive line. So we're seeing some kind of progress here.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man Hibbs texts in and says, where did the tight end Swaim come from? He made multiple key catches yesterday, and Jeff Swaim finishes with three catches for 30 yards yesterday. Not typically involved very much in the passing game, but some key receptions yesterday from Jeff Swaim.
Well, it's interesting, too, and my son is a Jonnu Smith fantasy owner, and he kept asking, is he hurt? I'm like, he's out there. You know, but I think this is part of, one, is that Jonnu Smith is more of a blocker now in this offense, but also Swaim as a pass receiver, and this is what they do sometimes with Pruitt too, is a surprise. I mean, that's the guy you can leak out and surprise teams with a little bit. And, yeah, he's catching the ball. Jeff Swaim has been a clutch pickup, especially with Pruitt hurt.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, do we think the next game has a chance of getting flexed to Sunday Night Football against the Browns now that the Broncos don't have a quarterback? I promised my wife we could put up Christmas decorations, and a night game would help me out a lot. Some selfish reasons there from
I'm
Tyler.
I'm so sorry, but no, it will not be flexed.
It will not be.
There was
talk about that last week.
Yeah, but it had to have been flexed already.
Right.
Very sad.
Get to watch the Chiefs-Broncos Sunday night. Really looking forward to that.
Well, you know what? You can still watch Mahomes, and isn't it fun to watch the Titans at noon? Then you can go on with your day. And get to bed early for the work week.
Purely think selfish reasons from Rex Road here. It has nothing to do with you, Tyler.
I want everyone
Rex
else.
Rex Road is very selfish in this discussion.
I want everyone else
he
to
wants
embrace
to be able
it.
To sleep.
Early kickoffs are good, folks. They're good for you. They're good for all of us.
When we come back, how much credit do we give the Titans yesterday offensively, given what the state of the Colts defense looked like? We'll discuss that on the other side. But first, I got a word for FanDuel. And you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and if you win, you keep the cash, and if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit, so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. It was a good weekend for Robbie Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Had a great day in college football, and with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. I took advantage of that last night. Had a nice weekend. Hopefully get my money sometime today or tomorrow. Very quick turnaround on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times has never been more vital for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This 6-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a big win for the Titans yesterday against the Indianapolis Colts. Joe, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Following yesterday's big win at Indy, plus last week's comeback at Baltimore, how do you view this Titans team and their ceiling right now? And the options are you still won't win the division, the Titans will be AFC South champs, the Titans are AFC title contenders, and the Super Bowl is coming their way. Those are the options right now. So far, 40% say Titans are the AFC South champs, 36% say AFC title contenders, 20% say Super Bowl, baby, here we come, and then just 4% say still won't win the division. A lot of sunshine blowing going today. I like it.
Oh, my, the sunshine is. And, hey, I give some props to the doom and gloomers or slash, like, Jaguars fans infiltrating the poll, whatever it is. 4% going there. Hey, yeah. You got to balance things out a little bit. It's good to see number one be the more measured win the AFC South. I mean, that's a good conclusion from this. They are now in position to win the AFC South. I think even when you look at the schedules, and I watched Deshaun Watson the other day, and I know it was the Lions, but I watched him and I said, if I'm the Colts, I don't necessarily relish playing that guy two times in the next 3 weeks.
No.
Of course, I also thought, like, man, they're going to have a hard time dealing with those Raiders. I mean, you never know in this league.
What a game yesterday by the Raiders. 43-6 to the Falcons, a loss. With no Julio Jones, by the way.
Yeah, my pigskin pick, NFL game. Picked those Raiders. What a great pick by me.
Kiss of death yesterday.
I suck.
You want to review how the three of us did on pigskin pick'em, by the way?
Look how excited.
Well, I'm sure you want me to, don't you? I'm sure you'd love that.
Look how excited he is.
Yes.
Team Morth.
Team Morth, another 4-1 day.
Yeah.
I back to 2-3. Now, I got my lock. That makes me feel
you
a little
bit better.
You guys
both got your lock. I didn't. Marquise Munson, if you're listening, you will get the trophy if you guys win, Team Morth. But like, Porth honestly might need to move to Vegas. He's kicking our butt left and right week after. So 4-1 for him, and what? You and I both went 2-3, right?
Yeah, but I have my lock. So
yeah,
make sure you
yeah,
throw that
so
in.
You still – right. So I sink further into last place. But yeah, the Raiders. I mean, what are they doing? What is going on? I didn't watch 1 second of that game. But like, what is happening? How does that happen? How do they just completely not show up? I thought this team was kind of surging.
Yeah, we talked about last week that the Raiders are underrated, and they go out and just get completely shelled by the Atlanta Falcons. It's unbelievable.
Like, I still expect them to be good and dangerous. They're way too good offensively with their personnel, you know, but that's a huge downer after they almost beat the Chiefs. Is it like a letdown from the Chiefs? I don't know.
A letdown from losing the game against the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, like they rose up and played really
well,
right? I mean, and then you lose the way you lose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough.
But the AFC, if you look at the standings, that loss. I mean, if you think of the Titans in terms of, look, you don't know if you're going to win the division. You still have to think about the rest of the picture. The Raiders are now sunk to 6-5.
Yep.
You know, the Dolphins are sitting there at 7-4, along with the Colts. The Ravens, 6-4, and they're going to be shorthanded playing the Steelers Tuesday. So it looks better from that perspective, too. And right now, of course, you are 8-3. The Bills are 8-3. You have the tiebreaker there, which would make you the 3 at this point. Titans are the 3 in the AFC.
Which is amazing because 2 weeks ago they were 9th. In the AFC. It's a quick turnaround in today's NFL in the AFC.
Yes, it is. But I feel like the Colts, you got those two games. Again, we don't know if the Raiders – I mean, I think the Raiders are still going to be a tough out. And they also still have the Steelers, the Jags at the end. I think that's a little bit tougher slate than what the Titans have. Not that the Titans don't have a bunch of gimmies. I mean, this is a real tough one coming up this week. But you got to think the Titans are in pretty – strong shape right now to win this division for the first time since 2008. And so, they've put themselves in that position.
So, Joe, a lot of the talk coming out of Indianapolis after the game yesterday and so far today is, yeah, it was impressive that the Titans were able to come in here and they played really well, but the Colts were shorthanded. I mean, they didn't have Autry, they didn't have DeForest Buckner, didn't have Jonathan Taylor. So it's not really a true test of the Titans against the Colts. What do you make of that idea kind of being thrown out there right now? How much credit do the Titans deserve for going in there and doing what they did yesterday in Indy?
Yeah, look, it's fair to – I think Buckner is a huge loss. Ryan Kelly is a huge loss. You know, you lose Costanzo in the game.
Right.
And, you know, you are certainly – that hurts you. You know, you can't prepare for that, okay? I'm going to just read for my story because I laid it all out on here. So let's lay it out for the Colts.
Okay. At theathletic.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you got Buckner, Danico Autry, Taylor, COVID. Bobby Okereke, also linebacker, good player. Ankle, Ryan Kelly Costanzo. Okay. Very serious. Now, in two meetings, the Colts never saw the Titans' top cornerback, Adoree Jackson, their star left tackle, Taylor Lewan, their slot receiver, Adam Humphries. The Titans didn't have Clowney in this game, and yes, there's going to be people saying, oh, they're better. Well, ask the Colts if they prefer Clowney or not Clowney after that game. That was actually his best game. This was the Titans' first full game without Jayon Brown. They've got their third-string left tackle in the game because their second-string left tackle hurt his leg because their starting left tackle tore his ACL. I mean, if you really match it up on who was more hurt, I think you can say the Colts had more recent stuff that really changed things on them.
Sure.
For sure. But both of these teams are heavily banged up. So, I mean, look, every year in the NFL, everybody has a final record, and there's a lot of games that could have gone either way, and there's a whole bunch of big injuries. You know what's amazing is sometimes I'll look back and read about games, you know, like from a year ago or a couple years ago, and I swear, in every single account, you'll forget, like, you know, this guy, we're all missing, you know? I mean, it's just what the league is. A little bit extreme for the Colts, but I thought all along the Titans are going to have their absolute best game for this. They're going to be focused. They're going to do things well. They're going to execute, and they did. And they deserve the credit for winning the game. There's no way around it. They thumped the Colts.
They did, and I think it's just whiny what's coming out of Indianapolis right now. I think there's a lot of that going on. And look, in today's NFL, you run into injuries all the time. I understand that there's a different element involved this year with COVID. But unless you run into a situation like, you know, Denver did yesterday where you literally don't have a quarterback, like, I don't put a whole lot of stock in the Saints just going into Mile High yesterday and destroying the Broncos because they had to call a dude off the practice squad to play quarterback and they completed one pass. So that's the type of game where your team probably doesn't get the credit in that game. It's just more about the circumstances. To me, like you broke it down there, a lot of the personnel from a significant loss standpoint was pretty even for the Titans and the Colts yesterday. I think there's a lot of whining going on in Indianapolis right now, and the Titans just came in yesterday and kicked their butt. That's what happened.
The first five questions of Frank Reich's press conference were about the injuries.
Yeah.
And certainly the injuries, I mean, those are important details to get as reporters. But the first five questions are about the injuries, including basically just like, so you lost because of injuries, right? So Frank Reich quote, it's the NFL. They have injuries too. Both teams are dealing with it. Everyone is dealing with it this time of year. That's his whole quote. By the time you get to the third question, he's like, guys, you know, and good for him. And I think most coaches would have that approach, but I appreciate that he just laid it out like that because, like, it is. It's, look, Buckner's big. There's no question. And they are going to be better when they get him back. But, like, it's too much. It's too much dwelling on this.
I don't want to hear it from Indy. I don't want to hear it at all. Don't want to hear it. The Titans had injuries too, and you got stiff-armed in your own house, so deal with it. Titans are going to win the division.
Port taking a lot of pride in this win. This is a big one for Port.
I was fired up yesterday.
Three out of four.
Like, do you feel like they've exercised some demons here against the Colts?
They're starting to turn the ship a little bit with the Colts. A little bit. It'd
be nice for them to win one here at some point.
Yes. Ditto. That was the least stressful Titans-Colts game I can ever remember.
Yeah.
I mean, at least with the Titans actually winning. Now, where the Titans, I think, had an advantage over the Colts when it comes to injuries yesterday is that they have dealt with it longer, so they've had a longer time to adjust to those changes.
Yes.
Where the Colts haven't dealt with Buckner being out all season.
Yeah, and he'll come back. I mean, this is the added reality of injuries, but then also there's COVID-19. Titans have, of course, had that themselves this year. But yeah, I mean, it was a last second thing. Everyone knows the deal. Look, I think the Titans were going to win this game. I really do. With Buckner, I can't prove it, but the idea that all of a sudden, like, that completely flipped the scoreboard around, I think is a wrong way to look at it. And that was a game the Titans could have won here, and all that stuff blew up in their face on special teams. And they've won 3 of 4 in Indy, by the way. 3 of 4,
turning the tides, baby. Titans own Indy in Indianapolis. Lucas Oil Stadium. Home of the Titans.
Home sweet home for the Titans.
The home that Derrick Henry built.
That's right. When we come back, why the Titans are creeping up back into a conversation that, quite honestly, I didn't think they'd be in after a key injury this year. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.